The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Drop, and I'm your host, Katie Drop. Well, let's get right into this boring-ass Monday Night Football game we had. It was like neither team wanted to win at all. It was interceptions fest from both quarterbacks. It was a very, very sloppy game offensively from both teams. But defensively, it was a really good game, at least for the Las Vegas Raiders it was. So the Raiders did end up getting the win 17-13 over the Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love, he just had an atrocious game. He threw for three interceptions, including on the game-winning drive to try and take the lead. He ended up throwing an interception, but it really wasn't surprising, which is kind of how the game was going. But like I said, the Las Vegas Raiders defense really took over. They had three interceptions, two sacks, so they just had an amazing game. But Jimmy G, he did not have an amazing game. He threw an interception and looked kind of rusty, so I don't know what's going on there. But even so, they still got the win, and sometimes you got to win ugly like that, and that's what the Raiders did. So Raiders ended up getting the win, and Green Bay lost. So let's move on to the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week, starting with number one. Has not changed. That would be the San Francisco 49ers. They are 5-0. They've pretty much kicked the crap out of everybody so far this season. They are the most complete team. You've got Brock Purdy, who's having a great season with 1,271 yards and 9 touchdowns. So no interceptions as well still. So he's just having a very efficient season. And so then he's also just got a ton of weapons with Brandon Ayuk having a great season so far. Debo Samuel's just starting to get warmed up. George Kittle's just starting to get warmed up. And then you turn over to the defensive side of things, and they've got 8 interceptions and 13 sacks on the season. So it just kind of feels like they're obviously the best team in the league, and there's really nothing else to say about that. Then at number 2 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Philadelphia Eagles, overall record of 5-0. So we have the two remaining undefeated teams in the league at the top here. And in my opinion, they both are the most talented teams in the league. And so it's just kind of how it is. Honestly, if they were to face off against each other like this weekend, it would be difficult to pick. I probably would lean towards the Eagles. Just for some reason, I feel like defensively, they might do a little bit more. But who knows? We'll find out, I don't think, until December anyways. But the Eagles defensively are just having a great season. They've got 15 sacks on the season, 10 forced fumbles. And then A.J. Brown has really just been lighting it up the last 3-4 weeks now. He's got 541 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he's been the big playmaker, too. He isn't just catching little 5-yarders here and there. No, he's catching like 20-plus yarders and getting big chunks of yardage for the Eagles. So they are at number 2 this week. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 4-1, and they just are doing what they normally do, just keep on winning. Patrick Mahomes having a great season, 1,287 yards, 10 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. But then you also have Isaiah Pacheco making, he's actually making a big difference on the offensive side of things right now. He's got 325 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns so far on the season. And the Chiefs defense, not too bad. They're really just they're playing kind of bully ball, if you will. I mean, they're winning ugly, but I mean, it doesn't really matter how you win. They're still the defending champs, and until you dethrone them, you pretty much got to keep them up there until they start losing. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that I'm shocked that I'm still talking about and keep surging each and every week, and that would be the Detroit Lions. Overall record of 4-1. And they are just playing a very balanced attack in football right now. They've got David Montgomery at running back, who's just having a career year so far. He's got 371 yards on the ground and 6 touchdowns, and he just keeps getting better with every single game. I mean, he is just, he's that dude. He's at the goal line, he's good. But also, at the same time, he could break for really big chunks of yardage, and he's been a huge source of offense for the Lions. But also, Jared Goff is just having a very efficient year as well. 1,265 yards passing, 9 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. But he's really just making the big plays offensively. And then defensively, they are really getting it done. They've got 14 sacks on the season and 5 interceptions. So the Lions, they actually, so far, look for real. We'll see if they start to fall off as the season goes on. But so far, they look like a legit team, at least at this point in time. And they are also in a terrible division. So it looks like we might be seeing some playoff football from the Lions. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, because we are only heading into week 6 at this current point in time. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 3-2. Josh Allen, he's just getting back on track. He's got 1,407 yards and 11 touchdowns and 5 interceptions on the season. Yes, they did suffer a loss to the Jaguars, but also at the same time, it's not like they got their asses beat. As a matter of fact, both of their losses have been really, they could have won them easily, especially the first loss of the season. They could have won that one. And then this one, they easily could have won too, but Jacksonville just was the better team. And also, who knows, maybe they were suffering from some type of jet lag or something, because it was a London game. So I'm not going to really hold it against them, especially because defensively, the Bills just keep getting better and better. I mean, we're talking about a lot of defenses, but we're really not talking about the Bills lately. I just think it's because they're 3-2, and people are kind of, I guess with the Bills, until they prove that they're a championship team, obviously we're not going to put them up there in the upper echelon with other teams. But defensively, they just are getting better and better. Right now, they actually lead the league in sacks with 21. They also lead the league in takeaways. They have 8 interceptions and 8 forced fumbles on the season. So defensively, they're really getting it done. So I'm not going to hold it against them that they lost to the Jaguars. Plus, the Jaguars aren't a terrible team either. So they're gonna lose some games along the way, but I still think the Bills are a legit team. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Miami Dolphins. Overall record of 4-1. I mean, they are the top offense in the league, the top scoring offense of the league, top passing, top rushing, top receiving. They are just top, top, top when it comes to offense. And they're actually not terrible defensively. I still have tons of questions whether or not defensively they're going to last all season. But so far, they've got 17 sacks on the season. So they are getting at the quarterback. But offensively, they ain't nothing to fuck with, and they're going to be very difficult to keep up with for a lot of teams if they keep this intact and just, hey, keep getting better as the season rolls on. Right now, Tua's got 1,614 yards through the air, 11 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Then you got Tyreek Hill. He's got 651 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns on the season. So just overall, it's all about the offense for the Dolphins at this point in time. Then taking a tumble on my top 10 NFL power rankings, falling all the way down to number 7, my Dallas Cowboys. They proved they ain't ready for the big boys yet. 3-2 on the season. Obviously, they're not the worst team in the league. They still have a really good defense. I still think they could get it done offensively. It's just they proved last week that they still can't win the big game. And until they do that, well, you can't play with the big boys, just like I said about the Bills. You know, until you prove it that you're right there with the Chiefs and the Niners and the Eagles, until you consistently go there, we can't really talk about you in that breath. And especially when you get your asses beat in every single way in that game. So hopefully the Cowboys are able to take that loss and turn it into a positive as the season rolls on. But at this point in time with the Cowboys, it's just like, we'll see what happens week to week, and we'll see what happens the next time they have to face off against a really good team, which I believe is in a couple of weeks, because we will be going to Philly here pretty soon. And as I said, they are 5-0 and one of the best teams in the league, so we are definitely going to be getting tested by them twice for sure this season. So we'll see what happens there, but Cowboys had a very disappointing loss. And so took a very disappointing tumble, but it's what had to happen, because when you get your ass beat like that, you don't deserve to be discussed in the championship potential category, at least yet. You got to prove it, and they ain't proven shit yet. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Baltimore Ravens. Overall record of 3-2. They're getting it done defensively as well. 18 sacks on the season. But Lamar Jackson, he is having a very efficient year taking care of the ball. And it's odd because you're not hearing a lot about him. And I think it's just because the Ravens really aren't scoring a lot of points like we're used to with them over the years. But I mean, so far on the year, Jackson's got 1,030 yards passing, 4 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And then 265 yards on the ground with 4 touchdowns. So he is having a very efficient year, keeping the interceptions down. He's actually running with purpose. It feels like he's not just taking off just to take off. He's actually kind of picking and choosing when he should run. And, I mean, he's having an excellent year when it comes to passing. He's just hitting the mark and just having a really solid year. The defense is playing great as well. So, And like I said, I can't really hold it against them that they lost to their division rival Steelers this past week, because that's just how it is with Ravens and Steelers. It goes back and forth, and anybody can win that matchup no matter what. So you can't hold that loss against them. Like I keep saying, none of these teams are going to go undefeated. So at some point, they're all going to suffer some type of loss. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Jacksonville Jaguars, overall record of 3-2. They seem to be getting going, and they did beat the Bills, so that's nothing to overlook. That's a big win. And Trevor Lawrence he seems to be getting better with every single game. I still feel like the Jaguars offense still has a lot of work to do. I feel like they can open it up just a bit more, but you could tell they're just creeping up. So it kind of feels like maybe as the season wears on, they're really going to start to score some points. Right now on the season, Trevor Lawrence has 1,258 yards and 5 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And then also his dude in the backfield, Travis Etienne Jr., he is having a great year as well. 396 yards on the ground with 3 touchdowns. And then also the Josh Allen for the Jaguars. This guy has 6 total sacks on the season, so he is a nightmare for quarterbacks. And defensively, the Jaguars are really getting it done. They're getting the turnovers, they're getting at the quarterback, and they're looking more and more like a complete team as the season starts to get going. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the New Orleans Saints. Overall record of 3-2. I mean, they just smashed the crap out of the New England Patriots at home, handed them their worst home loss ever. And just defensively, I think they're one of the best in the league. And then turning to the offensive side of things, they're not really as explosive as you would expect. But hey, man, Derek Carr having a very solid, efficient year. Chris Olave, he has been a nice weapon for them to have in the open field to make some big plays if they need him on like a third and long. He's made a couple of those big plays. And then Michael Thomas, he actually has been getting some looks these past couple of weeks. And now Kamara's back as well. So I kind of feel like you got to watch out for the Saints, especially with the division they're in. Yes, the Buccaneers are playing well, but I don't quite believe in the Buccaneers yet. I'm going to have to see how they go as the season wears on. But I do think the Saints looking like a really good team and probably going to get better. Then moving on to the Week 6 matchups, beginning with the Thursday night football game this week, is the Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are a 10.5-point favorite, and I mean, that sounds about right, just because Denver has had an atrocious season. They've lost some real heartbreakers, but they've also got their asses beat. They've lost in just about every single way this year, and also Patrick Mahomes historically owns the Denver Broncos. So this doesn't really bode well for the Denver Broncos, and until they actually start clicking in any way, shape, or form, I really can't take the Broncos, especially against this Kansas City Chiefs team that seems to be getting better every week. So I have the Kansas City Chiefs beating out the Broncos 28-17. I kind of have a feeling it's going to be close in the first half, but then the Chiefs will start to pull away in the second half, and it'll just start to get out of hand for the Broncos, and they'll just have to play catch-up. And so far, that hasn't worked out for them this season. So that's how I see Thursday Night Football this week. Now moving on to the college football AP top 10 rankings for this week. Number 1 still remains Georgia at 6-0. They trounced Kentucky 51-13, and they're going to be at Vanderbilt this week. Then at number two, Michigan remains. They are 6-0. They also stomped Minnesota 52-10. They are playing Indiana this week. Then at number three, we have Ohio State. They are 5-0 on the season, and they will be at Purdue this week. Then Florida State, they're 5-0. They actually just had the week off, so they're coming off of a bye. They will be playing Syracuse this week. Number five, moving up, number five, stupid-ass Oklahoma Sooners. They dominated my Texas Longhorns, so I knew they were going to move up because they are 6-0, and they got a big win over the Longhorns, so of course you're going to move up. And they have a bye week this week, so they're going to remain there, but ugh. What a terrible game that was, too. Then at number six this week, we have Penn State. They're 5-0, and they'll be playing UMass this week. Then at number seven, we have Washington. They're at 5-0, and they'll be playing a big game this week against number eight, Oregon. So there you go. That's number eight this week is Oregon, who's also 5-0. So one of them has got to lose. So maybe one of them will be falling out of the top 10 next week. Who knows? But it will, I guess, depend on how that game goes. But that's going to be a good matchup regardless. And falling all the way to number nine, my Texas Longhorns, they are now 5-1 on the season. And, you know, what sucks about that loss to OU is, you know, if you're an SEC team and you suffer one loss, you usually don't fall far, and you usually don't fall out of playoff contention, and it doesn't usually count against you terribly. And it's kind of the same too with Michigan and Ohio State. But when it comes to everybody else, if you lose once, you're pretty much fucked. And the Longhorns, well, yes, the season's not over, and I mean, we need a lot of things to like fall our way. We need teams ahead of us to lose and stuff like that to actually make some headway and be a legit contender in the playoff. You know, if we don't lose here on out, that's cool. And then maybe we'll see Oklahoma again in the Big 12 championship. Who knows? But that's the way it's looking at this point. We beat Oklahoma in that, then we could potentially be right up there. But like I said, what sucks about the one loss is we just need a lot of things to work out our way rather than just keep on winning. But of course, couldn't beat stupid-ass Oklahoma. Ugh, it's so annoying. We were able to beat Alabama, but could not beat Oklahoma. You have no idea how, as a Longhorns fan, how frustrating that is. Like, ugh, so frustrating. But, hey, like I said, they didn't show up for that game. You know, you got Ewers throwing the two interceptions right off the bat. Defense couldn't tackle me. It was just a bad game overall. Hell, it shouldn't have even been that close of a game. So get it together, Longhorns. Hopefully the chips fall in our direction, but we're down at number nine, and we need a lot of help. Then rounding out the AP top 10 this week is USC. They are 6-0. They just barely got by Arizona 43-41, which is one of the reasons why they, in the rankings, they're also kind of screwed. They have to have like the perfect season, basically like the Longhorns do, to really get respect in the rankings. I mean, hell, I'm kind of actually shocked that the Longhorns are above them, but they are, and I'm cool with that. But I think part of the reason why is because USC really hasn't blown out the really good competitors. They've really actually been close. And then, of course, Arizona's not a good team. So just barely getting by them is not good. But, and then defensively, they've really, especially during the second half, they've really, these last two games especially, just completely collapsed. This week, they're going to be at number 21, Notre Dame. So that's going to be a big game. We'll see how that goes. But that's just kind of how it is for these game, or for these teams that aren't in the SEC. If you even suffer one loss, it's really, really not a good thing if you want to make it into the playoff and be taken seriously as well. And let's catch up on where we are at with the baseball playoffs with the NLDS right now. Game two of the NLDS was taken by the Atlanta Braves in stunning fashion as well. I mean, they were... for the Phillies, Zach Wheeler was pitching a gem until DiArno came up, and then he launched a home run, and then all of a sudden the Braves just got it together, and they were down 4-3 at one point, and then Austin Riley came up to bat. He was going 0-for-3, so it's like it felt hopeless for the Braves to even get anything going, and Riley just crushed an eighth-inning home run to take the lead 5-4, and the Braves never looked back in that matchup. And currently, the series is tied up at 1-1, but we have game 3 on right now, and currently the Braves are getting smashed. Right before I actually hit record, Bryce Harper had actually hit his second home run of the night, and the Phillies went up 7-1. So it's not looking like it's going to be the Braves' night tonight. Who knows? They could make a comeback. They're capable of such a thing. But I don't know. The way things have gone, it don't look like it's their night. So it looks like things are going to be different looking when we get to Friday. But hey, this has been an epic matchup. The pitching has been phenomenal, especially for the Phillies. But the offense has been just very unpredictable and amazing. And the big players are stepping up when they need to step up. So it's been a great series so far, which is to be expected because they're two really good teams, really hot right now, division rivals who know each other. And I don't know. It's looking like the Phillies are going up 2-1 because right now I've got the game on, still 7-1, bottom of the sixth inning. So, yeah, we'll see where we're at on Friday with that series. Then the second NLDS matchup, the Arizona Diamondbacks are doing it, and it's fan-fucking-tastic. I love to see the Dodgers in the postseason because they just are so consistently awful, and it's great. I mean, Kershaw got blown up the other night. Well, guess what? They did not have a better night in game 2. Arizona won 4-2. They didn't score as much in the previous matchup, but Zach Gallen pitched a gem. And then you also had Lourdes Gurriel Jr. He hit a home run. Corbin Carroll, the rookie, he had a couple hits as well. And Arizona currently is up on the Dodgers 2-0. And they could eliminate the Dodgers and move on to the NLCS tonight. So I'm rooting for you, Diamondbacks. Keep on choking, Dodgers. That is what I love. I know during the regular season, you piss me off. I hate having to rank you in my power rankings. But then you never fail when it comes to the postseason. You always let your fans down. But me, you always put a smile on my face when Kershaw gets blown up and when y'all choke. And now you're choking to the Diamondbacks. So I'm loving it. So hopefully on Friday's show, I'll be talking about how the Diamondbacks have moved on to the NLCS. But hey, you never know with the Dodgers. They've got a lot of offense and they've got a lot of good players. So they could easily turn this around, but it's nice to watch them get their asses kicked right now. Moving on to the ALDS matchups. Game 3 between the Houston Astros and the Minnesota Twins. All Astros. Astros smashed the Twins 9-1, and Houston had 4 home runs. Abreu had 2 of those home runs. I mean, so I turn the game on, leave the room. I leave the room for like maybe 8 minutes. I come in and I'm like, what? It's already 4-0? Did somebody hit a grand slam? Well, come to find out, Abreu did not hit a grand slam, but he ended up hitting a home run and driving in a few runs. They would go up 4-0 in the first inning. I'm like, all right, cool. And then, of course, Yordan Alvarez. This dude is mashing. He is something else. I mean, he had a pretty solid regular season, but dude is probably having the best postseason so far. I mean, I know we could talk about a lot of guys, and Harper's making a good case tonight. But Yordan Alvarez, that dude is just mashing right now, and he had a home run as well. And then Christian Javier pitched the gem. He had 5 innings pitched, only 1 hit, 0 earned runs, and 9 strikeouts, so he's in playoff mode. Picking up right where he left off in last year's World Series. I don't know if you remember, but he pitched a nice gem to help get the Astros on to win the World Series. But right now, the Astros are up 2-1, and they could end up moving on to the ALCS tonight. And a team that has officially moved on to the ALCS would be the Texas Rangers. They officially swept the Baltimore Orioles last night, 7-1. This was not even close. As a matter of fact, this is a huge disappointment from Baltimore, in my opinion. I mean, were the most consistent team in the regular season. But this is what I love about playoff baseball, is just that anything can happen. Any team can win. Anybody can have a bad game. Anybody can have a good game. Just guys will step up out of nowhere. So that's just how it is in the playoffs. But man, the Orioles couldn't score a run, especially in game three. It was just all Texas all day. Adolis Garcia had a huge home run. Corey Sager throughout this entire series was given the Barry Bonds treatment by just getting walk after walk after walk. And then when they pitched to him in last night's game, he ended up hitting a home run, having a solid game. So no wonder why. But then, of course, you've got Nathan Eovaldi, who's been the workhorse for the Rangers. He pitched a gem, 7 innings pitched with 7 strikeouts, and the Rangers, in dominating fashion, are moving on to the ALCS. And they're hoping for Houston, of course, because that's just that's the cross-state rival, of course. Houston versus the Rangers would be big here in Texas. But, I think it would be a fun matchup just because they both are very talented. And as I've mentioned before, I've got a great amount of respect for Bruce Bochy. I am not shocked that the Rangers are doing this well right now with him as their manager. Honestly, I would not be surprised if they went on to win the World Series. They weren't my pick, but with how hot they are, and just I know what he does. He wins. And it would be phenomenal to see that, but we've got a long ways to go. But Texas Rangers sitting pretty, waiting on their next opponent for the ALCS, and they're hoping for Houston. But I think they'll be fine with whoever, because they're ready. They're primed to potentially make a big World Series run here, because it was not close in that Orioles matchup. They owned them every single game, and the Orioles are no chump squad. So big ups to the Texas Rangers. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.